This is Calvin Austin III, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined today by a special guest, but a guest that you know well from here on the various shows. He's Cody Carpentier. You can find him on Twitter at CarpentierNFL. Trash Man had some kind of, who knows with Trash Man, something trashy. He texts, hey, dude. Can you do the waiver wire show at like 9:30? I'm like, are you going to even have the waiver wire cheat sheet to me to do quality control before then? It's like, well, I guess I probably could. I'm just like, this all sounds too cocky, maybe Trash Man. We're going to keep the show on during the same time. Call Cody and see if he can come on. Thankfully, Cody was able to join. So, Cody, good to have you, brother. And look, I think that the first thing that we'll just say about this week on waivers, and if you guys have questions, you can load them into the chat, whatever. If you have questions about who to drop, stuff like that, we're going to address it after the show's over. But we should be able to kind of breeze through this one, Cody, because it's not as big a week. There's not a Jerome Ford. There's not a Devon Achane. There's not a there aren't the Rams guys like in week two. It was like every week we've had really consequential pieces still available on the waiver wire. To me, this feels like a week where it's like trying to pound into everybody's head that there are players that – are still out there and, you know, 50-ish percent of leagues who need to be owned. And I know that you have short benches in a lot of these leagues. I play in certain leagues where I have, you know, 5-6 bench spots. It can be hard to be able to just stash these guys and wait. But when you do so, you're going to be on the receiving end of, you know, good fortune when another one of these waiver claims becomes a really, really big one. And God forbid something happens to Derrick Henry, you know, and next thing you know, you're like, how was I listening to old Alex and Cody and them telling me just make sure you have Tyjae Spears on your team. Yep. Make sure that you have guys like Roshon Johnson on your team. You can see it on the cheat sheet that's a good question, Minion Hunter. You can see on the cheat sheet that those guys just remain fixtures at the very top because they're guys we want on our rosters. They're guys we want to stash. It makes it harder to go through and make these big moves on waivers and constantly be, like the Trash Man always says, recycling that nasty bottom part of your roster. But it's at this point, you know, if you're looking to make moves on the waiver wire this week, I think probably what Minion Hunter is asking, he's asking about Jaleel McLaughlin, of course, for the Denver Broncos. He comes into Cody, you'd say, I mean, you talked about it on one of your podcasts, I guess on your Patreon, that you said a couple weeks ago that you were telling people to go scoop up Jaleel McLaughlin. And you have him on a bunch of your rosters. It's kind of the stuff that we're talking about, but I guarantee you in Cody's leagues, those leagues, you know, he already has Roshon or Tyjae or people have these guys. They have Kendre Miller. He would not be going and scooping up a Jaleel McLaughlin in that kind of situation. With that being said, this week on the waiver wire, he'll be a popular ad because Javonte Williams did have the hip injury. They're acting like it's not going to be as big a deal as you might generally think. What's your read on this and what's your read on McLaughlin? When, like, just quickly, it looks like he played 33% of snaps in that, just that dog, you know what, of a game versus Chicago. 33% of snaps. You have three targets, 10 touches for 104 yards and a touchdown. He looked good in the preseason. You know, he's an undrafted rookie who made the team. What's going on, guys? We got Minion Hunter, Lifetime Longhorn, Mikey, Minion Hunter again. Yeah, no, I understand what Minion Hunter is saying, and we're going to get to these questions. But first, Cody, what do you think about Jaleel McLaughlin? I think he's probably a guy that you can maybe spend 15% of your budget on because I'm not sure he's going to be a long-term answer for you. But maybe somebody I don't even have the games memorized for this week yet. Denver has a decent matchup at home versus the New York Jets, who, despite despite how much we love their draft and despite how good that defense looked on paper, they've actually been a pretty darn good matchup for opposing running backs.
I like Jaleel McLaughlin, but of course you always come to this culmination that is now he's the number one guy on the list, right? Now it's like, all right, everyone's going to go and going to be spending their fab on him. And people that are in trouble, they're going to be like, well, I got to put in, you know, 20, 25, 30%. And you're going to be in trouble because you're going to be the one left without a McLaughlin. When that's why, like, these type of players, especially a McLaughlin guy that's not of the ilk of Jerome Ford, who we knew at the start of the year was going to be like in that backup role. Chuba Hubbard, you knew he was going to be that backup role. McLaughlin's kind of coming from nothing. He was an undrafted guy out of Youngstown. Like, basically, my theory on McLaughlin 2 weeks ago when I talked about it on Patreon was he's a 4.51 guy. He's 190 pounds. He was an upper 90th percentile college dominator. All things that are in line with this guy named Austin Eckler. I'm not saying he's Austin Eckler, but you do remember Denver a couple of years ago had this guy named Philip Lindsay who was pretty bursty, right? So we're not saying that McLaughlin's going to be this league killer or league winner, but what he can be is he can be a guy that you can play for a couple of weeks if the scenario was there, because he's a lot more bursty than Perine. He's had a nose for the end zone. He had three rushing in the preseason, one receiving in the preseason. He's had a rushing rushing touchdown so far the regular season and two receiving touchdowns.
He's been getting in the games even whenever they've had all the guys healthy. I mean, you look in there and like with Lifetime Longhorn saying, dude, Javonte Williams is killing me. I guess it's time to go after Jaleel McLaughlin. Like I know what it's like. I have Javonte Williams in one league and it's an important league where it feels like Javonte is I'm undefeated in that one, but it feels like Javonte is the one I'm always sweating. I'm just like, man, why is there so much of this, like, you know, it feels like a clown car, like some Samaje Perine, and then all of a sudden you're like Jaleel McLaughlin. It's like, so I mean, he's been on the minds of Javonte Williams owners if they've been watching the games, you know, unfortunate enough to watching this garbage Denver Broncos product that he's kind of been a pain for you anyway.
This is exactly what happened last year, though, with J.K. Dobbins, dude. This is exactly – and it wasn't exactly what happened because Dobbins was the knee flaring up. But with Javonte, it just moved up to his hip. And you've seen him have 42 yards, 44 yards. He hasn't done anything. You look at what Dobbins did last year. It was 41, 44, 23, 15. Then he's out. And he missed six games. Like, this is you can almost bet, you can almost guarantee it's coming from that knee injury. It's because he's when you injure one side of the body, you kind of you make up for it using the other side of the body type of situation, and then the injuries move on to their side of the body. But so it's a hip injury, it's not the knee injury, but I do think that he probably wasn't 100% ready to come back. But that's what happens in the NFL. They force these guys back. So you have to utilize a guy like McLaughlin. They didn't add anybody else outside of Perine. Perine got a nice contract, but McLaughlin's the bursty guy. He's the guy in this backfield right now going forward, I would say.
Would you drop Gus Edwards for Jaleel McLaughlin? Minion Hunter's asking. I think that Gus Edwards, I mean, clearly he's going to have better days.
They're showing you exactly. They're showing you their hand in Baltimore right now. They don't care who the back is. The back is, it's Gus. It can be Melvin. It can be Justice Hill when he comes back. It can be Keaton Mitchell when he comes. Like, it's, they're just, you know, Lamar's got nine carries. It's just messy. I think Gus will have a couple games, you know, where Gus is Gus, where he averages, he standardly across his career's averaged like 5.2 yards per carry, which is ridiculous. But yes, he'll have a game with a touchdown or two, but as far as starting him on a consistent basis, it's going to be tough for me to bite on. But also you're comparing that against McLaughlin, who's got a bad football team.
All right, Cecil Lammy said that McLaughlin's worth 20. So this is from from Minion. He said that Cecil Lammy said that McLaughlin's worth 25%. I think that's high, but Cecil has literal keys to the stadium. Said he's been getting first team touches in practice the whole time, not just recently. I mean, well, look, here's the first thing about my guy Cecil, who I certainly love. He's a great guy, known him forever. I think I first met Cecil at the Senior Bowl probably 13 years ago. Like, he's a great dude.
does a good job covering the team. He hypes up Broncos players like no other beat writer there is, because he also works at Football Guys and he wants to have the scoop for the guys at Football Guys. And it got everybody in trouble last week because he said, you know, like you said, he has basic keys to the stadium, and he goes out and he has the report that there has been a major, major role change for Marvin Mims. And so when I hear that there's a major role change for Marvin Mims and I see he's got, what, 8.22 yards per route run, I say, dude, if he's going to be running more routes, oh my God, we got to play Marvin Mims in DFS this week, especially against the bad Bears defense. And then all of a sudden you look up, he plays the same damn number. It plays with like 17 routes once again. His route participation rate didn't change one bit. So, I mean, with Cecil, I think he's got good information. Clearly he's got inside information. What's cool about Denver is they actually let these guys to certain practices. They can't talk about them in specific, but it's like
he's telling on himself.
He constantly and he's a great guy. This is not to, I don't want anybody to send this clip to Cecil and say that they're bagging on you.
Of course.
What I'm saying is, like, we have to think about these things from his perspective, right? It's kind of like listening to, I hope this is not like me, but maybe it's like, you're always going to want to remember when I'm talking about NFL prospects that come from the University of Texas for the Longhorns, I'm going to have a bit of a different feel about them because I interview them all the time. I know them. I've known them since they were recruits. That, you know, I tend to generally like them as people, you know? And so it's like, it's just those are things you got to remember about sort of the source there. And also the fact that he's a fantasy guy that covers the team and, you know, thinks a lot of fantasy thoughts. So I think 25 is too high. I mean, on Julian McLaughlin, I go 10, 15%. Of your original budget. I mean, I could go maybe up to, I don't know, 15, 16 bucks if you're in real need of a running back this week.
Yeah.
What if Javonte's back this week?
I think McLaughlin's still going to get his usage though. Like he's gotten those pop opportunities the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think the classic term of the genie's out of the bottle. Like he's already got 105 yards on 10 touches last week. Like, he's got the burst. It's pretty apparent when you watch the football game that this guy's got the burst to get the job done.
Yep. There's a couple questions here. Okay. Mikey's asking, would you guys trade away Javonte Williams and Waller for Gibbs? I think at this point I might. It feels like you're buying super, super low on Gibbs. I don't know what to say about this Waller. Like, I don't know what's up. What the hell? What is the Giants?
It's just Jones, isn't it? That's what it is.
I don't know. It's like it's so tilting. They're just so bad. And how could they be? Look, after looking so promising, it looked like good coaching last year with Dable. I mean, I think I might do that. At this point, if you have Javonte Williams and you have Darren Waller, you've been underwhelmed by those guys all year. At a certain time, it's like, I always talk about this when I'm saying weather, right? It's like sometimes you just need a change in the overall pattern of stuff for things. Like sometimes you just need to shake up your team a little bit. I think adding a guy like Gibbs is sort of exciting and gives your team a different look, a different feel. It would free up a roster spot to go.
And everybody's out on him.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, this is the same thing. This is, you got to be out. He's not the talent that everyone thought he was. Everyone's on the A-chain thing because everyone loves the fresh and new thing. But you got to remember back. You got to remember back how elite of a pass catching prospect Gibbs was. He's also was still a top 15 pick. Like the time is coming for Gibbs. They just want him to be healthy for the stretch, and the stretch is something called the fantasy playoffs as well. So, just can't say it enough.
What happens when your roster bottom is not terrible? I need another trade cast. Well, Benyon Hunter, you will get one. I believe on Wednesday it'll come out. Now, people who watch this on the YouTube feed, you guys are going to need to subscribe to the Roster Watch podcast feed to get that, because Byron doesn't make a video element for that one. So it's just it's only on the podcast. So
can we guilt him into doing that?
What? Put it in on the video?
Guilt him into doing a video?
But it's be like, Byron, you're the one who's like, we have to put all discoverable content. He's a CEO. Like, he's our CEO, you know, co-founder of the business. He's always like, we need to put all discoverable content on YouTube and make sure that it links up to all our socials and all this stuff. And then like for his one content contribution during the week, he didn't even put it up on YouTube.
it's just so funny. Guilt him into doing it.
All right. So Lifetime Longhorn says, I have Hunter Henry. I drafted Ferguson, dropped him, and he's available. go after Ferguson, Kmet, Higby, or hold the line with Henry at tight end. I kind of like what I've seen out of Ferguson. I've kind of picked him up, and I've just been playing him. It hadn't been too bad. I don't know how you feel about him vis-a-vis Hunter Henry at this point. Cole Kmet's not going to – he's not going to play Denver every week. That's the number one matchup for opposing tight ends. Higby's been banged up. To me, it would be Ferguson or Henry. Do you have a distinct opinion there moving forward?
No. Rest of season? We knew what this role was. We knew he was going to get targets in this role. It was the same thing Schultz got down the stretch last year. I can't remember what the number was, but he had like something like six or seven tight end 1 weeks out of the last 10 weeks in Dallas did Schultz. And so like this Ferguson opportunity is there. Seven targets week one, seven in three, seven in week four. This is – what are we doing? Like, this is the guy that's getting the targets, and you got to chase targets at tight end. That's just point blank. Also, Noah Fant, I think, is a guy that going into last night, even the last 2 weeks, he had 40 yards. And then last week, he breaks off that big, long reception. So he's also an interesting guy, but Ferguson's definitely top of the line as far as that goes for targets.
So we have this question about – God, I hate this. Evan Harrison. I don't hate you, Evan. I just hate these kinds of questions. Thoughts on a trade? Dubs for Pittman? Well, for one, you take Pittman. Secondly, why do people make these trades? Like this isn't a good way to, you know,
build a team.
Evan Harrison, you should listen to the trade cast. This is I forget the name that Byron has for these sort of trades, the position for position trades, where it's like somebody's going to end up winning and somebody's going to end up losing and being the sucker in this whole thing. In Dynasty, it's different, right? In Dynasty, it's different because in Dynasty, you could have a win now team and you could say like, all right, well, I'm going to trade one of my young guys, but I'm going to go out and get Tyreek Hill, you know, because I want to win this year, you know, and then you can trade the younger kind of up and coming guy to one of your teams that's rebuilding. Well, in redraft, you all just have this 1 year. So in redraft, you're just making your bet on which side of this trade is going to win. It's fine in theory. It's fun, but lateral trade. You're right. That's what Byron calls them. It's fine in theory and it's fun, but if you go around looking for those kinds of trades, proposing those kinds of trades, you're not going to be as successful a trader because the most successful traders always go to everybody else's roster and just look at that roster and say, if I'm sitting down and this is my roster, what would I look at this and say that I'm not really comfortable with or something that I'd like to improve? And then what on my team can maybe help them while also bringing me something in return that will help me? And that's how you craft a trade. You don't craft a trade by just saying, all right, hey, man, it's like you're trading a football card.
Yep.
You know, you craft a trade to that's ultimately you want to win the trade, but you want to help your team in doing so. And you want to address, it's like at the end of this thing, you still just have one. It's just one more receiver. The makeup of your team hasn't changed. So that's the way I see that. But I mean, if I was doing this, the old football card lateral trade, I would prefer Pittman for sure.
Yeah.
Let's say, guys, do I trade Walker and Pittman for Lamb and Mixon?
No.
I have Jay Tay coming back because Jonathan Taylor and ETN Walker. Mixon. I'm starting to get spooked on Mixon, man.
Yep.
Like, so I'm not
and Lamb's a dog, but dude, Walker's got that spot so locked in. It's not even, it's sick. And Pittman, he had one down week. He's had 10 plus targets each of the last 3 weeks. And then this week he has five targets in this weird matchup against the Rams when they came back and he only had one catch, but there was also one play where Matt Waldman had a great little thread of three straight Colts plays of throws by Anthony Richardson. And one of them was a disgusting downfield kind of crossbody laser. Yeah. And Pittman, it was a back shoulder throw to Pittman that he just couldn't get off the cornerback in time.
But he put that in a beautiful spot.
No penalty. Right. Perfect. Hand.
Yeah.
Should have been a touchdown. Should have been a 2 for 55 day for a touchdown with Pittman. And that's going to be, that's a bad day for Pittman. What happened yesterday or on Sunday. So you can't sell on Pittman, in my opinion. And yeah.
Captain Joking says, huge fan of the stream. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Oh, you guys, man, I never ask for this, but could you like the video, please? Just click that you like it. It's free to do. It takes 2 seconds. All right. Should I trade CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Hurts for CeeDee Lamb and D. Swift? I'm not sure. Is this some kind of Inception trade you got going on?
Multiple copy league?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you got the two CD league. Trade Javonte and Evan Ingram for Jerome Ford. I have Sam Laporta.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about trading for Jerome Ford right now going into the bye week? I mean, it's kind of helpful going into the bye week because he did get a little bit banged up in that last game. He didn't look like he was hurt bad, but I could tell he was kind of banged up.
Yeah, and you saw a little bit out of Pierre Strong, which was kind of weird apropos to having Kareem Hunt on the roster who looked inefficient, not good.
Well, Kareem, but Kareem Hunt was like, he didn't practice all week. Was Kareem Hunt active for the game?
Played 5 carries for 12 yards. Like he just wasn't. But there was technically a second. Like he was inactive last week, and then he had the whole week in the building this week.
Yeah, so, yeah. But he already popped up with a groin and all kinds of groin, all this stuff.
Exactly. So I think you Ford's definitely a guy I want to get. Javonte, the thing is, we talked about McLaughlin a minute ago. We also compared the Javonte situation because it's a similar surgery to J.K. Dobbins of last year. Like, I think there's still a world where, Javonte, even if he's out for, 3, 4, 5 weeks, hopefully you get like an out tag that you can put him on your bench on your IR. And I would just hold on to Javonte. I kind of like doing that more so than
it feels like
I love Laporta, but also like Ingram's right behind him in the total. You got two stud tight ends.
Yep, and I feel like, it's too much to give up for Jerome Ford. I don't mind Ford moving forward, but if you're gonna sell Javonte, man, if at all possible, please just wait until he go. Like he's gonna have a game where he scores two touchdowns, and you can just wait until then. All right, so. Mixon's going to score 3 touchdowns this week. Consolidation trades, if at all. Always consolidation, man. The only time that you're liquidating it is if you're losing. Hey, man, should I thank you guys for all the
questions. Yes.
Hey, man, should I drop Dak for C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love? I hate to say it, but I'd probably drop him for C.J. Stroud right now. Stroud's just. I don't know. He's going God mode. It's hard to really say much else. Another lateral deal, CD for Jamar straight up. I wouldn't do it right now. I know it feels like an ultimate buy low kind of thing, but I'm legit.
Worried about Burrow.
Yeah. After this last week versus Tennessee, that whole offense just looks dysfunctional. He looks angry. It could be like it was in week 3, wherever he has the squeaky wheel kind of game where he's just like, give me the ball, whatever you got to do, give me the ball. But it just feels like, man, there's getting to be more and more talk with people just saying like, dude, this team keeps losing. They're not going anywhere this year. Just sit Burrow until he's healthy. Just sit him until he's healthy. They already have, if you look at the historical data based on what their current record is right now, they say only like what to get to the playoffs, like 18% of the time when you start out with the record that they have. So
they're not making the playoffs, are they? I don't think so.
I've even forgotten.
Is backup Browning? Browning, yeah, Jake Browning from Washington.
Dude, he was
in Minnesota for a couple.
You
years
want like no that. Part of anything where it could be just a 15% chance that you have Browning slinging the rock, distributing the pill to your boy Jamar Chase. I don't see a need to do it right now. Also, it's an idiotic lateral trade.
Yep.
Okay. Thoughts on this blockbuster 10-man non-PPR? You're not giving
CMC anything.
That's all I need to see.
No. You're not
big
giving
dog, Terry Snowman. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, my friend.
Golly.
Let's see. Someone just offered me Waddle for James Cook. Is it good? My wide receivers are Cup, Olave, and Dell. My running backs are CMC, K-Not. Dude, that's a good team, and I think it's a well-balanced roster. If you have Cup, Olave, Tank Dell, you're about to get Cooper Cup back.
But you got to keep Cook, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's good and balanced. Why are you going to get yourself unbalanced? I'm not sure that I take that. Okay. Minion understands he's convinced that Burrow has a partial Achilles tear. I think Minion's some kind of doctor, or at least he's a neuroscientist or something. Maybe he would know. I don't know, man. He's saying that you can play until it tears or get season-ending surgery. It's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, I feel like for me, I always trust Dr. David Chow. And what Dr. David Chow says is he could fix this thing up, but it's going to take six weeks off.
Fuck it. So Jamar Chase was right, dude. He's like, this dude just needs to sit out till week five. That's what he said. Remember preseason? He goes, this dude needs to sit up till week five. We'll be just fine. And look at them. Now they're in the same exact spot they probably would have been in.
Yeah.
If they would have just rolled with what they had.
Well, we've talked about a bunch of running backs. What about the wide receivers? You said that you didn't want to get Jamison Williams up too high. I can sort of understand why. I think that he's a decent stash right now, though. He certainly would, in theory, complement what they have going on there with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Laporta with a vertical element that they're just – that Josh Reynolds just – he ain't it. Marvin Jones isn't either. Jameson Williams, the first round borderline top, or was he a top 10 pick? He was a top 14 pick, if not. They're gonna use him. So if he's out there, I mean the upside for it's just for me, the upside for him, whenever I think about that versus like Tyler Boyd in the same nightmare Bengal situation that we're talking about, like I'm picking up Jameson Williams. I'm gonna put him on the end of my bench and see what happens. Of course,
I'm not paying up for him. That's my big thing. I'm not paying up for Jameson because, like, Campbell told us right there. Campbell's, you know, like, Deion is like the most transparent coach we've seen in the last forever, almost, right? As far as how players are playing, all this stuff. But Dan Campbell's like getting up there in that where he's just like point blank. He's like, well, you can't play 60 plays. We're not going to do that. And he also just needs to get better at the little things every single day. Like, he's just like, hey, he knows what he needs to do. The thing is if Jameson's going to do it, because it's been like two or three strikes now of him doing the wrong things. And can it be that he has a big catch, you know, his first week back? Sure. But I think I just don't want to make him the first priority at wide receiver. I don't like Romeo Doubs, but the targets are there for Doubs right now. Michael Wilson showed up. Like, there's a number of guys that I think you need to prioritize over a Jameson who, we know in that offense, right? It's Montgomery getting a bulk of the carries, most of them. Gibbs, they want to use as a weapon. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, and this guy named Sam Laporta, who just happened to be tight end too. Like, it's very tightened, right? Khalif Raymond's been a guy. It's Khalif Raymond or Reynolds as that extra guy getting targets. In the ideal world, Jameson takes over all of those targets, right? And it funnels even tighter. But I just want to – he hasn't proven to us that he can do that, right? He hasn't proven to us that he can stay healthy. He hasn't proven to us that he can make the right plays and stay on the field. That's why I'm really worried about Jameson. But of course we love the talent. And in the most ideal world, this offense is to the moon if he hits.
Yeah. I think Quentin Johnston's still fine to go after, even though he was just a pathetic – what was he, a 15% snap participant last week? Joshua Palmer's clearly running so far ahead of him, but even Joshua Palmer's only getting in on about 50% of snaps, even with, what was it last week? It can't have been 15. What was it? Why did I remember?
15 what?
Was it 15? Was it the routes or something like that? What was his snap percentage?
Well, Palmer had 8 targets, but he only had 2 for 20.
So, all right. So Quentin Johnston, I was looking at so Quentin Johnston week 4. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic. It's 51. So 51. So it definitely went up. But man, here's the thing. It's like if you look at guys like you realize
I would snap Keenan though.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, and he looked good on that final catch. That big
50 final. That made the day for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't doing anything until he caught that one. He did have eight targets, only 3 catches, and that one was like one of them accounted for 54 yards.
That last ball of the game, 51. Yeah,
right. I think that Quentin, but I mean, Josh Palmer's now not available, and you know, it's like he's like 65% owned. But I do think Quentin Johnston's fine, not 15% targets or 15% snaps, 51% of snaps. And we could see less 2 tight end sets if Donald Parham Jr. does, you know, miss any time. I haven't heard the update on him. Have you heard the update on Parham Jr., whether that's going to be significant?
I thought we just saw something earlier. Let me look here. Suffered sprained wrist, may return for week 6.
Okay. So, that's right. They're coming into their bye. So, we finally get Austin Ekeler back. That's always good news. All right. So, man, that's the waivers this week. If you guys have questions about who to drop, let me know. Cody, I've made this list here of people who others have asked about. So,
okay,
you just tell me if you can drop them, okay? All right, Luke Musgrave,
no.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
yes.
Evan Hull?
Yes, he's on IR.
Yeah, but he, I mean, once he comes back, well, I mean,
Taylor's going to own this. I talked about this on Top 10 Thoughts yesterday. This offensive line has been dominant with Zach Moss. Zach Moss has the same stat line that Taylor did the first 3 weeks of last year. When Taylor comes back, this offensive line's better than it was last year. Taylor's going to absolutely destroy if he stays in Indianapolis.
Drop Josh Downs and or Rashee Rice for Jameson Williams and or Deontay Johnson on waivers.
Drop Josh Downs and grab Deontay. Keep Rice and leave Jameson.
You hate Jameson Williams. All right. Zay Jones.
Yeah. It's Kirk or Ridley, and then Evan Ingram's just the most consistent piece in this offense.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Got him.
Elijah Mitchell.
Got him.
Antonio Gibson.
Got him.
Dalvin Cook.
That one hurt. He's the epitome of a washed up running back, sadly.
Rondale Moore.
Hold.
DJ Chark.
Hold for one more week. Hold for one more week because Terrace Marshall, if he can double down on this 10 targets and he can give you 7 or 8 more this week, you gotta trust that, and then you can move on next week. But I'm just holding one more week for sure.
Rashad Bateman.
Gone.
This is the toughest one. You got the Chargers going into their bye. Whenever they come back out of their bye, Austin Eckler is coming back, and somebody wants to know if they can pick up Jaleel McLaughlin for needing a win right now, but they need to drop Josh Kelly.
You got to do it. You got to drop him.